Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Morning, everyone. Yeah, I guess you get to an age where snow is just an inconvenience. All you see is you driving a car and it's just a threat, you know. Praise the Lord. So it's good to be with you again this morning, and just good to be serving the Lord, and just trusting the Lord this morning that He'll bless us and speak to our hearts today, and I can just be a channel or a vessel through which He could speak. Praise the Lord. It's been said many times, but it's very, very true. Just for God to help us to get ourselves out of the way, and so that He can come on the scene and just, He can do the work. One thing we should know as Christians, the longer you're in the Christian, in the way of being a Christian, you just get the realization, or we should have the realization, that there's absolutely nothing we can do. We're absolutely powerless without His help. Amen, praise God. So we just need Him today, and I believe He's here. The Bible said He inhabits the praises of His people. I don't believe you can come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for Him not to be here. But it's just to be able to allow Him to just, when He is here, to have His way. Praise the Lord. So we'll trust Him this morning. Amen. And before we turn to the Word of God, shall we just bow our heads for a word of prayer while we're standing? And then we'll read some scriptures. Our Heavenly Father, once again we want to say thank You to You for Your goodness and for Your faithfulness and for Your mercy, Lord. Lord, Your Word has said that Thy mercies are new every morning. And we've just heard a little testimony there of Your mercy to that Sister Ivy. Lord, You protected her from going over that great big drop, Father. Yes, and You protected me. You watched over Your people. And Lord, Your eyes are ever upon Your people and upon Your children. And Father, when we're forgetful of You, You're not forgetful of us. Lord, when we're not faithful, You are faithful, Lord. And so today we do come before You in the name of Jesus. And we pray that God, You'll indeed help us, Lord, as we open the Word of God once again to speak from it, Lord. And we pray, for Your help, for Your unction, Lord, that God, the Holy Spirit, would just get into this word, get into this service, get into each one of our hearts, Lord. Break up all the fallow ground, Father. Just, Lord, soften our hearts, Lord, just to receive You, Lord, to accept You, Lord, to just get that touch of God in our lives, Father, I pray. Lord, we all just need a fresh touch from You, Lord. The psalmist said, Thou anointest me with fresh oil, Father. And today we come, Lord, and ask You once again, Lord, that Thou would indeed anoint us with fresh oil, Father. A new touch of God in our lives, we pray. We just pray for that quickening and that help. Lord, with colds and sniffs and colds, and Lord, just going around this time of year, I guess. But Lord, would You just make us well, Father, in Jesus' name. Take away any infections, Lord, and just help us, we pray. As we want to commit all things to You now, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I'd like you to turn, please, in the Bible to the book of Kings. The second book of Kings. And we're going to look at chapter 5. It's a famous chapter. It's a story of Naaman. And I want to stay in the book of Kings today, God willing. Tonight I'll be also staying in the book of Kings just over the next page or so. I'm preaching also from there, but this morning I'd like to speak. I didn't know whether Ian or Rock was going to be here this morning, because that's why I kind of changed things over a little bit. I was over in Scotland the other day there, and he was there, so I thought if he's here, I'll preach the sermon. I'll preach that sermon that I preached when I was over there in the evening time, because I knew he has to go back to work, but he's not here anyway. But I'm going to stay with this sermon today, the one I got this morning. Praise the Lord. And so we want to look at this, the scripture now in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. And we want to read, let's read down to the 14th verse. It's quite a lengthy reading of the Word of God, but we know if we're reading from the Word of God, we can't go wrong, can we? Praise the Lord. Now it says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that was in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold,
and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man should descend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, that and see how that he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, surely he will come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he went. So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. The Lord bless his word. Please take your seats this morning, friends. Praise the Lord. Now, God help me just to share these few thoughts with you today. But I'd like to speak on the little thought, just which I take from the verse 12 there of our reading, where Naaman referred to the rivers of Damascus as being better waters than all the rivers of Israel. And that's going to be the title of my message, Better Waters. You know, a man has always looked for something to make him clean. He's always searched for a better way to get himself clean, or to deal with his problems, or to deal with his sin in his life. And really, many times we're no different to Naaman. We're looking for some other way of becoming acceptable with God, or getting right with God, and getting ourselves clean. But God has got a provided way whereby you and me are going to be cleaned or healed or forgiven or cleansed. And that is the only way he's going to do. And it goes to show us there in this great subject, and you've probably read this many, many times as a child growing up, and of course in Sunday school, I knew the story of Naaman very much, but it's always a blessing to me to go to the Word of God. And there's always something fresh that can come from the Word of God. There's always some inspiration that we can get from the Word of God. No matter how many times you might think you know the story, or you're familiar with the account of what's written in the Scriptures, you can always go to the Word of God, and there's always something there that you read and you say, well, I never saw it like that before. And you know, it, because it's the Book of God. And there's just no way of coming to the end of God. There's no way of just searching it out. The Bible said his ways are past finding out. And so when we go to the Scriptures, there's always some little gem there that we can get and we can look at, and we can just kind of polish it up with the help of God there and become just receive help from the Lord. So Naaman was really there in a place where he said, but it's interesting to look there at the story of Naaman. And notice in the verse, it tells us there that he was a great man. And that God, by Naaman, had given deliverance to the king of Syria. So he'd been used by God, and he'd been he knew what it was to be used by God. But the Bible said he was a leper. You see, there's a difference between what he'd been and what he was. And you can't really live on past experiences. It's amazing today that so many people want to live on what God did 50 or 40 years ago, and so forth. But it's not really what God has done, it's where we're at now. You cannot live off a past experience. We thank God for those experiences, but we see we need to receive these things fresh every day. We need to walk in these things new every day. So no matter how much God had used Naaman in the past, and the great things that God had done with Naaman to give deliverance there, his present condition was that he was a leper. And his present condition was he needed to be helped. Praise the Lord. The great need of the church. You know, it's a great thing with the people of God when we recognize that we need to be helped. It's a poor thing to be in a condition where you realize that where you don't recognize that you've got a need. When you don't recognize that you need to be helped. I've said this before, maybe I've said it here before, but it probably bears repeating that, you know, the condition with Laodicea is that it didn't recognize its need. But I believe that wherever the Spirit of God is with the people of God or in the people of God, it is going to it will constantly and always cause you to recognize your need. And you know, when you recognize your need, God can help you. If you recognize you've got a need, then the Lord can help you. If we go through life thinking everything's fine, we've got it all just worked out, we've got it all just sewn up, we just know how it's going to be and what's going to take place and it's going to just be this way, very often we find that it's not that way. But we come so fixed in our preconceived idea. And that's exactly what happened with Naaman, by the way, that he had some preconceived idea of what was going to happen. He had some preconception there that when he got down to Elisha's house there, or got to the prophet there, just how it was going to be. Well, we're no different very often to Elisha. We get some preconceived ideas of how it's going to be. And we often think it's the Spirit of God, when really, in matter of fact, it's not the Lord at all. It's just our thinking. It's just our preconceptions of what it's going to be. And when it doesn't work that way, because it doesn't work the way we think it should work, or come the way we think it should come, we very often miss it. And we walk away from it and say, how can that be God? Well, sure, it's God. It's just not God according to the way you thought it was going to be God. Very often it can be God, but it might not be the way you actually thought it was going to be that way. So really, we've got to be open to however God does things. I've often said that I don't care who God speaks to. I just say, Lord, give me ear to ear.
Amen.
Lord, I don't care who you use or who you speak to. Lord, I don't want to get to a place where I just say it can only come through a certain channel or through a certain place that I can receive the word of God. I want to be open to whichever channel God wants to use. I want to be open to whichever way God would want to speak to me. But Lord, let me hear what you're saying. You know, we're told in the Bible to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church.
Amen.
So Lord, you know, God, give me an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. Now, he can speak through anybody he wants to speak through. He can speak through any event or any circumstance he wants to do. We know in the rebuilding of the temple there, God was speaking to the people. They weren't hearing God because, you see, they were looking in the wrong place. But God was speaking to that people in that time through circumstances. He said, you're putting money into a bag with holes. And he said, you've not got enough to eat, you've not got enough to drink, and so forth. But you see, what that was God speaking to them. But they failed to pick up on that. They failed to understand that, you see. Surely God wouldn't use that, but God does. God can use everyday circumstances to speak to us. He can use anything he wants, but Lord, just give me an ear to what you... Just let my ear be open to what you wanted to say to me. Help me to be able to receive it. When we get to a place where it can only come through a certain channel or a certain medium there, or it's not God, then we're in trouble. That was Naaman's problem. But notice it's interesting that Naaman's condition there, no matter how great he'd been, no matter how great of a warrior or captain he was, he's got a condition now that's really bringing him low. And that condition is the condition of leprosy. In the Bible, of course, we know the story of leprosy. I'm going to speak on it a little bit this evening. About some leprous men and so forth. But notice the condition of leprosy is a perfect type of sin. And sin is no respecter of position. Sin is no respecter of standing or social standing or anything else. Sin will destroy the greatest of men. It will destroy the least of men. It doesn't respect anyone. Sin will destroy. So no matter what Naaman had been there, that leprosy was killing him. And no matter if he didn't get that dealt with, it was going to destroy him. So God, I believe in his mercy, begins to deal with Naaman. Pray, you know, God's got a way of dealing with each one of us. God's got a way of dealing with each one of his children there. And he knows how to bring us to that place to get what he wants you to receive. And sometimes it's not a journey that we want to go on. Sometimes it's not a thing that we like. But we must believe that God is for us. Very often, a lot of Christians, you know, we get to a place, we get a mindset there that there's a God there that just can't wait to beat you up. There's a God there that just can't wait to bring judgment on you. But we should remember, as the children of God and as his sons and daughters, that he's our Father that loves us.
Amen.
And he's our Father that wants what's best for us. He's not there to punish you or to condemn you out of hand there. He's there for your good. The Bible said all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. The judgment of God was laid on Christ. Praise the Lord. And so God is, the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul spoke about that. He said, you know, not life, not death, not things present, nor things not seen, and angels or principalities. Nothing's going to separate us from that love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, we really, as God's people, sometimes need to get a renewing of the mind. The Bible said, be transformed with the renewing of the mind. That's something, we have a new heart. But sometimes we keep an old mind. Which, you know, as the people of God, we need to start to think a little bit differently than often the way we do think. We need to change our thinking to the way of God's thinking. It's in line for His Word that God is for us, He's not against us. God stands for His people. God wants what's best for His people. He's not there to judge or bring you down there. He's there to help you. He's there to deliver you. And now it's a great story, the great illustration here that was of Naaman there. Now remember, God's going to start to deal with Naaman. But I guess it's so far removed from what Naaman thought it was going to be that maybe if it wasn't but for the grace of God, Naaman would have missed it. But there's something, I guess God saw something in, you know, I like that. You know, God sees something in the hearts of His children. I'm so glad that God looks at the heart. Very often we look at what we see from the outside, but Jesus warned us about that. Jesus said, don't judge according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We judge what we see. Just, I guess, it's the way we are, but we judge what we're seeing. But God looks upon the heart of man. Praise the Lord. It's the Word of God that discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So He really knows about His people. Praise the Lord. So God is now going to start to deal with Naaman. And the first thing God does there, He sends Naaman a message. Now, he doesn't get his message from one of the king's captains and so forth, one of the king's chamberlains or somebody in the palace there. He gets a message, and he gets a message from a little serving girl. Praise the Lord. See, God knew what was in the heart of Naaman. God knew Naaman's condition and what was really in his heart, so God knows what to send. Praise the Lord. God knows what to send to you and send to me there that's going to help. So He sends this great captain, He sends this great leader there, this man that's won great battles and won great victories there, He sends him a message and He sends it through a little serving girl. Praise the Lord. Now you see Naaman, I guess he wasn't looking for a message from that little girl. But that's the way, that's the channel, that's the means that God chose there to bring His message to Naaman. God knows how to do it, hallelujah. So if you were just with the prophet that's down there at Israel, God would recover, or speaking to Naaman's wife there, if my master was, you see, there must have been something about Naaman that was nice. There must have been something about Naaman that was genuine for that little girl to be concerned about it.
Yes,
do you understand? There must have been something there that was real in Naaman. Because that little girl had been taken captive from the people of Israel there. But she said, oh, if my master was down there with the prophet that's in Israel, he would recover him of his leprosy. Praise the Lord. So Naaman, so the king there gets sends a letter to the king of Israel there and sends a letter. So I'm sending Naaman down to you that you'd recover him out of his leprosy. And of course, we know the report there of the king. He comes along and says, well, I can't heal him. I can't do anything about it. I can't recover him from his leprosy. And you know, there's nobody that can. Hallelujah. There's nobody can deal with sin in your life. There's nobody can deal with a fallen nature. Hallelujah. Outside of Almighty God. There's no manner of good works or good effort can deal with a fallen nature. You can polish it up, you can dress it up, you can try and make it be good, but a fallen nature is a fallen nature. Sin is sin, and it will destroy. So Naaman comes down to the house. So God, the king of Syria there, sends Naaman down to the king of Israel there to recover him out of his leprosy, and Elisha gets the message. Or hears about this, because the king's in a real state, because there's nothing he can do about it. And he knows there's nothing he can do about it. It's good when you know there's nothing you can do about a thing. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good when you know that you're powerless to do anything. That's when you can go to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, if you think there's anything in you that can do any good, if you think there's anything in you that can merit any righteousness, you're in a bad condition.
Yes.
You've got to come to a place where you realize there's absolutely nothing you can do. You've got to come to a place that it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you learn or how much you work or how much you pray or how much you read or how much you listen to. You've got to realize there's only one can help you. Hallelujah. There's only one can do anything about it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't work up righteousness. You can't produce holiness. It takes another life. Praise be to God. I like the story in the book of Genesis there. You know, right at the beginning there, the Bible tells us of Cain and Abel, how that in the process of time they brought an offering. You know, if I never read any of the scripture in the Word of God, just to read Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 4,
tells me a whole message of the Bible.
Amen.
If you never read another scripture, never read a word in the book of God, just reading those two verses is enough to tell you the entire message of the word of God. The right approach to God and the wrong approach to God. You know, Cain came along and brought his offerings there, thought that, you know, there's something he could do to merit. You see, there's been a fall. And if there's a fall, there's something in human nature. I don't care what nature it is. There's something in man tells him he's fallen. Amen. And there's something in him that's trying or desiring or wanting to get back from where he's fallen from. Now, we don't know where he's fallen from, but there's just something in him telling him this isn't right. That's why you get so many people writing all these books and these studies about the meaning of life. What's he telling them? There's been a fall.
Yes.
There's been a separation from God. Now they might come at it from a scientific angle. They might come at it from an intellectual angle. But nevertheless, the result's the same. There's been a fall. Yes. There's been a separation. And something in man's nature tells him that. Mm-hmm. Now something tells him that he's got to get back. Now he might try many ways of getting back, but there's only one way of getting back.
Yeah.
So Cain came along there, he thought, you know what? I've worked, I've tried, I've done everything I can do. I've planted, I've grown those flowers, I've grown those fruits of the garden. I've tried everything I can do to get back to God. Surely God's going to accept it. You know, we sometimes look at Cain and we criticize and we condemn Cain. But we very often are just as guilty as Cain was. We commend ourselves trying and pushing and pressing to try and become pleasing to God instead of coming God's provided way. I made a statement just recently. I said, could Cain have been saved? We look at predestination. I believe in predestination, by the way. But listen, could Cain have been saved? Sure he could. God came down and said, Cain, if you do right, you'll be accepted. Now, was God having a joke with him? Was God teasing him and saying, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tease Cain. God said, Cain, if you do right, I'm going to accept you. Now, we know he was the seed of the serpent, but no, think about that. But God said, Cain, this is the right way. The way your brother came, that's the right way. But God knew, hallelujah, that Cain wouldn't come that way. But God wasn't coming down and saying, you couldn't. God was giving him the chance. God gave him the opportunity.
Amen.
God gave him the way. But God in his foreknowledge knew that Cain wouldn't come.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, God doesn't create people to go to hell.
Amen.
The Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
And it's not God's will that any man should perish. Now, God knows there are people that are going to reject that way. But hallelujah, the offer's open to everyone.
Amen.
To the vilest sinner. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I believe that Judas could have repented. He could have been saved. But God knew he wouldn't. But every man has that opportunity. Every man has that choice, that chance. But in the foreknowledge, now we haven't got that foreknowledge. We haven't got that. Now it's different with us. That's why predestination is something in the hand of God. You can't figure those things out. You just have to believe it. Now God does predestinate to eternal life. But he does not predestinate people to hell. That's the choice a person makes, is to reject God's provided way. But when Jesus died on that cross, hallelujah, praise God, now he knew who would and who wouldn't, but when he died on the cross, hallelujah, the offer is open to everyone. Whosoever will, hallelujah, let him come. Now if he made an offer to someone like Cain, how much more to you and me, praise God, we can come through the grace and the mercies of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a glorious gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the prophet says, now he tells the king, getting back to my story, he tells Elisha and said, tells the king there, well, let him come. Let him come. Notice what it said there in that verse. Now this is interesting. It said verse 8, and it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent my clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know there's a prophet in Israel. Hallelujah. But notice something. I like this. When a Naaman comes to the door of the prophet, and you know, it's amazing, that's all people think they have to do today. Oh, I came to the prophet. It's not about coming to the prophet, friends. When Naaman comes to the door of the prophet, Elisha doesn't even go out to see him. So how in the world is Naaman going to know there's a prophet in Israel?
Now that's what Naaman thought. He thought, if I can get to the prophet there, the prophet will come out, he'll strike his hands over me, he'll pray for me. There'll be a great revival meeting, you know, there'll be a big shindig there and I'm going to be healed. Hallelujah. Oh, it's going to be something to behold. You see, sometimes we miss God.
Yes.
Because we're looking for the super duper. Sometimes you can miss faith because it's just so humble. You know, Brother Branham made a statement once. He said, act on that pulsation.
Amen.
That little quickening. You see, sometimes you miss it. That presence that's around you is the presence of God. We sometimes need to learn and to know as a people of God to be able to heal. That's why I say, when you know, after the preaching's done, we come to church, oh, we're going to hear we'll sing a few hymns, the preacher will get up and preach his sermon, we'll sing a few hymns at the end and we'll go home. That's the time to wait. That's the time to wait, and that presence starts to deal with people. And that's the time to be able to yield and let the Holy Spirit. Now, it might not come from the preacher at the front. It could come from anybody in the congregation. But you see, it's to be able to allow and to yield to the Holy Spirit just in that period of worship and praising of God and just yielding to the Spirit of God and allowing you hear Brother Aaron time and time and time again on those prayer lines. And he said, I'm just waiting. You see, it's something that I guess we've lost it a little bit today. It's become almost like a song, a hymn and a prayer. The very thing we condemn the denominations of, we're guilty of ourselves very often. We need to just be able to wait and yield for the Holy Ghost. But you see, the problem of it is, just like Naaman, we got it all figured out. Just like Naaman, we know how it's going to be. And if it moves outside of that, we don't want anything to do with it. It couldn't be God because it's contrary to the way my interpretation. It couldn't be God because it's not the way my pastor said. It couldn't be God because it's not the way my church said. Brother Branham made a statement that's always stuck with me. Speaking of the Pharisees, he said he came according to the word, but contrary to their interpretation. God will always come according to his word. Maybe not according to your interpretation. Maybe not according to your idea. But God will always come, hallelujah, according to his word. Praise Amen. The Lord. The Bible said God sent Jesus to what? To bless you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, if we go from church without a blessing, we've missed it. If we go out of this building today without a blessing, without that touch of God, we've missed something. We've missed something. Praise be to God. So he comes to the door of Elisha, and Elisha just sends him a message. Don't go out himself. He never sees Elisha. He just says, tells his servant, go and tell him to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, how's he going to know there's a prophet in Israel? Here it is, by where the prophet pointed him. He's going to know there's a prophet in Israel, not because the prophet comes out and performs miracles upon him and performs the healing upon him, but because of where that prophet is pointing him to.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Of where that prophet's directing. Where that prophets will always point you back to the original.
Amen.
Notice there, the River Jordan is a perfect type of a new birth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When they crossed the Jordan, it was a type of being born again, because they came out of the Jordan there. They came out on the other side of the Canaan, which is a type of the Holy Ghost. Which is a type of the promised land, praise the Lord. And notice what God told you. Now let's go back a little bit. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but let's go back a little bit. In the book of Joshua, when it came time that they'd been on a big journey there, God had called them out of Egypt. They'd seen the signs, they'd seen the wonders, they'd seen the miracles, they'd seen the power of God. But it came time, hallelujah, to cross over. It came time to what? All those miracles, all those signs, all those wonders had been sent for. The time came that it was everything that had been done was bringing them to this place, to bring them into that land.
Yes.
To bring them into that promise. Hallelujah. Yes. God saved you. Hallelujah. To bring you into that promise.
Right.
To bring you into the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To bring you into a land. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not that you can stand on the other side and look over, but that you can go in.
Glory.
So blessedly, God says, now Joshua, it's time. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that. Joshua, it's time to go in. Now here's what you do, Joshua. You get 12 men out of each tribe of the children of Israel there. And when that Jordan, I want you to go and get a rock. He said, when you cross over there, that Jordan's going to open, you're going to go through the Jordan. I want you to take those 12 rocks, put them in the Jordan there, hallelujah. And when you come out, I want you to get 12 rocks, and I want you to put them over there in Gilgal. It's interesting, that's the place where they were circumcised the second time.
Right.
You know, I got a message this morning while I was dwelling on that.
Amen.
I got a message called the second time. Like I was preaching last night about Jonah the second time.
Amen.
There's a message there, praise the Lord. I'll go back and make some notes on it. The second time, hallelujah.
Amen.
God circumcised Israel the second time. Hallelujah. So God said, that's what I want you to do. Go and get those Joshua got those 12 stones, he put them up, down. Joshua, a type of the Holy Ghost, took 12 stones, put them in the Jordan. Type of the Holy Spirit, identifying you and me in his death. We're buried with him in baptism. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Spiritually, we're identified in his death. But God said, don't leave it there, Joshua. I want you to get those men and get 12 rocks. And when you come through the Jordan, I want you to get them rocks. I want you to pile them up there. As a witness. As a testimony.
Amen.
But when your children ask you, what means this? You're going to be able to look back. You're going to be able to point to this spot. Hallelujah. That's the place we crossed over. And I believe that when a man crosses over, when anyone crosses over, there's a witness.
Glory.
Amen.
There's a witness. Hallelujah. There's a testimony. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And what? The word of that testimony.
Amen.
There's a place you can point back to.
Hallelujah.
There's a place you can say, you know what? That's the day God brought us over. Hallelujah. I like it when somebody can point back to a place.
Yes.
I'm not so keen when people can point me back to an intellectual conception. But when somebody can point back to a time. Somebody can point back to a place. That's the day we crossed over.
Right.
Hallelujah. The old saying, I was there when I got it. I was there when it happened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've got a testimony. It's real. Hallelujah. There's a witness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This isn't just something in my head. It's not something my preacher told me. It's not something my pastor told me. It's not something Joshua told me or Moses told me. I've got a witness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've got a witness that I crossed over. Oh, hallelujah. I've got a witness that I crossed over the Jordan. Oh, blessed be the name. Like that old song. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Glory! Hallelujah. There's a testimony. There's a witness. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's real. It's real. We've had a lot of nonsense. We've had a lot of sham. But that don't take away from the genuine. That doesn't take away from the real, from the true. They said, we got something. Joshua said, now your children are going to get to a certain age. They're going to grow up. They're going to ask you a question. What mean these rocks? What's it all about? And you better have something you can point back to.
All right.
Hallelujah. The church has got to have something it can point back to. You know, the Bible says we're being turned back to Pentecost. There's got to be something that we can point back to. Something that we can turn back to. I'm not looking for something new. I'm looking for something to get back to something that's already there. I'm looking for something that... I'm looking for a witness that the stones which have already been laid down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, God built a pile of rocks on the day of Pentecost. Don't the Bible say you're living stones?
Yes.
Amen.
God got a witness, a testimony.
Amen.
But when the children ask... What are these rocks? What are these fathers? Because the Bible says he's going to turn the children what? To the fathers. Hallelujah. What mean these stones? That's when you crossed over. That's why I say the Holy Ghost is real.
Amen.
The power of God is real.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Got off my subject, excuse me. But notice... When they crossed over there, they had a testimony. Notice what Elisha does. What's he doing? He's pointing Naaman back to the original crossing place. He's sending Naaman back. He's telling Naaman to go back to the original place of crossing. That's how they got into the... Now, this is in type, of course, naturally speaking. But what's the spiritual application there? Elisha pointed Naaman to the crossing. Back to the original. In other words, back to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now notice he said, Naaman, I want you to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. Speaking of what? Showing that all through those 7 church ages, a man's going to be born again.
Amen.
Showing that through those 7 church ages, a man's going to... Now you never said that, Naaman, you go and dip there 6 times and the 7 times okay. You go and dip 7 times. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he never said, just go, you can dip for 5 times or 6 times, and the 7th time it's okay, you can just kneel. You've got to dip.
Amen.
You've got to go under. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've got to be identified with the death of Christ in every age.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when you are, there's a witness, there's a testimony.
Amen.
Something you can point to.
Yes.
Somewhere you can go to. That when that devil comes and lies and tells you, oh, it's just a make-believe, you got a witness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You got a witness. You got a testimony. You were there when it happened. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. So Elisha points Naaman back to the original. Why? Because when Elisha was with a man named Elijah, and it was time for Elijah to go, he took Elisha on a journey. I preached upon it many times. I don't want to dwell on it too long. But he took him down from Gilgal, he went out to Bethel. From Bethel, he went to Jericho. He went to Jericho. And from Jericho, hallelujah. Now Elijah didn't stop there. He took him to the Jordan. What's he doing? He's taking him back to the original. A prophet will always take you. A prophet will always take you back to the original. A prophet's not going to leave you in Bethel. Hallelujah. A prophet ain't going to leave you in Jericho.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A prophet's going to take you all the way back to the original crossing place.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you get it? A prophet will take you back to the original crossing place. Now, Elijah gets Elisha to that place. He said, now, Elisha, I want you to stay here. Now, if he'd have been listening to the prophet, he'd have stayed there. But Elisha wasn't listening to the prophet. He was listening to who was speaking through that prophet. If Elisha was listening to the prophet naturally, he'd have stayed in Bethel. If he was listening to the prophet intellectually, he'd have stayed at Jericho. Oh, I could preach a sermon right there. I better not. Amen!
Amen.
But he wasn't listening to Elijah as a man. He was listening to God speaking. He was listening to what the Spirit was saying to the church. Hallelujah! He was listening to what the Spirit of God was speaking to Elijah. He had that touch. He had that quickening.
Amen.
Now he knew Bethel was okay, but he didn't get it there. He knew Jericho was fine, but he didn't get it there. He stayed with Elisha.
Amen.
Elisha said, Elisha, I'm going to Jericho. Excuse me. Elisha, I'm going to the Jordan. Oh, hallelujah. That's where Elisha got that double portion.
Amen.
That's where Elisha got that double portion. That's where Elisha got that quickening he received when Elijah called him, took him right back to the original. If you're ever going to represent Elijah, in other words, if you're ever going to represent me, Elisha, you've got to go back to the original.
Amen.
If you're ever going to preach my message, Elisha, you've got to come to the original.
Amen.
If you're ever going to declare my word, Elisha, you've got to go to the original crossing place.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm sorry to shout. Pardon me. But you've got to come to the original crossing place. Elisha takes him over. Elijah takes him over.
Right.
Notice. No, sir. When he sees that great, he asks that great thing of Elijah. He said, well, if you're with him and I'm taken, it'll be as you desire for a double portion. Notice Elisha comes. After seeing that great miracle, Elijah's robe drops off and he comes up to the Jordan there. Notice what he says. Where is the God of Elijah?
Amen.
The God of Elijah was found where? The original crossing place. The God of Elijah was found at the Jordan. A type of crossing over, a type of the Holy
Amen.
Ghost, a type of a new birth. Elijah didn't get the robe of Elijah to say, where's the God of Elijah at Jericho? Where's he in Gilgal? Where's he in Bethel? But at the Jordan, hallelujah.
Amen.
Where's the God of Elijah? Where is that God of Elijah?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's where he's always been. He's at the original crossing place. He's at that original place. Hallelujah. We cry for God today. He's where he's always been.
Amen.
That's why God's taking his church back there. Now we've had a lot of detours and a lot of sidetracks. We've had a lot of people stay down there in Jericho. We've had a lot of people stay in Bethel. Hallelujah. But God's got somebody somewhere that's going all the way to Jordan. God's got somebody that's going all the way back. Hallelujah.
Yes.
A lot of sons of prophets said, Elisha, you don't need to go there. You better stay here. Now, they knew all there was to know about Elijah. But Elijah wasn't interested in knowing about Elijah. He was interested in what Elijah was identifying. Praise the Lord. That's where Elijah took Elijah. See, that's why Elisha with confidence could point Naaman to the Jordan. That's why Elijah could say, Naaman, you go there. It'll cure your leprosy. And hallelujah, this Holy Ghost gospel will deal with sin.
Amen.
This cross will deal with sin. This blood will cleanse from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
It's not a part of the program.
it is the program.
Right.
Hallelujah.
I don't need to receive that. You know what? There's a little bit more. I've always quoted that scripture. I probably quoted it here before. Forgive me for saying it again. But I like that testimony over in the book of Revelation where they sing a new song. Hallelujah. They're singing a new song, but they're singing about the blood of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus is always a new song. Hallelujah. The preaching of the cross is always a new message. Hallelujah. They ain't singing about the seals. In fact, the seals haven't even, when they sing that, the seals aren't even open there. They said, you're worthy to take the book and open the seals. Why? Because already there's been a finished work. You can do that, Lord. You can show us the plan of redemption because, hallelujah, hallelujah, you've shed your blood. You've made us kings and priests.
Yes.
Now, that great redemption plan can be unfolded. It can show us our position in Christ. But it's all, Lord, it's a finished work. It's a finished work. It's not part of a work. It's a finished work. As I've often said, we live in the work of redemption, not the plan of redemption. If I was to show you a plan there, if I was going to have build myself a house, it was going to be a beautiful house, I'd say, hey, I want you to come and look at the plans here. Look how beautiful it's going to be. Look how wonderful it's going to be. Isn't it going to be wonderful? Well, that's fine, but I can't live in the plan. I can't live in the plan. I can get excited about it. I can get enthused about it. I can say, oh, isn't it going to be wonderful? Well, sure, it's going to be wonderful, but you don't live in a plan. You live in a finished work.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I like the sound of that myself.
Amen.
You live in a finished work.
Amen.
And Calvary's a finished work.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You made us. See, the work of redemption is a finished work. The plan of redemption is ongoing and will be till Jesus comes and the whole thing gets sewn up. But we're not saved by a plan. We're saved by a work. The plan can help you. The plan can keep you online. The plan can keep you direct. Like I said last night, we have a message. The church has a message to preach. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. All Paul's epistles, all Paul's letters when he came, not just Paul, Jude and Peter and John, all those apostles and so forth came to the church warning that false teachers were coming into the church. Why? Because they were trying to keep the church level. They were trying to keep the church balanced, keep it clean, keep it just uncontaminated. Why? So the church could deliver that message.
Amen.
That's what Paul wrote his epistles for. So the church could give that message. She only got one message. Christ is risen from the dead. And he's coming back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit of God on Elisha. That same Spirit that was on Elijah. Now if the Spirit that was on Elijah took Naaman to Jordan. That same Spirit comes on Naaman, on Elisha. Where's it going to take him? It's going to take him to Jordan. Sure it is. Now that same Spirit comes about 2,000 years later on a man by the name of John the Baptist. And we know the Bible tells us he came in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Well, what's he doing?
Yes. Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Oh, this Bible's a book, I'll tell you.
Amen.
You can rest your soul on this, friend.
Yes. That's right.
You can't take words, but you can rest your soul on the Word of God.
Amen.
John come baptizing in the where? The Jordan.
Hallelujah.
The Jordan. Now preaching from the type. Here he is standing under his knees in the type and saying, you know what? There's one coming after me. What's his message? Hallelujah. What's his message? There's one coming after me. Oh, there's one coming after me. He's mightier than I am. He's mightier than I am. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad there's one mightier than you and me. I'm glad there's one mightier than John. I'm glad there's one mightier than those prophets, hallelujah. I'm glad there's one mightier than Elijah, hallelujah.
Amen.
I've seen there's been great men of God down through the scenes, down through the ages. But there's one mightier, hallelujah.
Right.
Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. There's one coming after me, he's mightier than I am. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
From the type to the real.
Yes, amen.
Pointing from the type to the real. If it cleansed the man of his leprosy, it'll cleanse you and me of sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll deliver you and me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. How could that Spirit point him anywhere else? How could that anointing take him anywhere else? Couldn't do it. Well, I want to ask you a question, friends, in these last days. How could that anointing point you anywhere else but back to that crossing place? How could that anointing take you anywhere else? but back to the original. Hallelujah. How could it do it? It's got to take you back to the original. Hallelujah. It's got to bring you back to the original crossing place. It won't take you anywhere else. If it's taking you somewhere else, it's not the original message. That original message will take you back to the original crossing place. What you see in types and shadows here in the Old Testament, we see in fulfillment over here in the New. Hallelujah. John said, there's one coming after me, Michael and I. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. But you know what? The church is going to get cold. It's going to backslide. It's going to get men as its leader. Men are going to come in there and just run the whole thing. But there's coming a day. Hallelujah. God said, there'll come a day when I'm going to bring you back to the original crossing place. There's coming a day, there's coming a time where I'm going to bring you back to the original crossing place. And it's the same place. It hasn't changed. For the promises unto you, to your children, as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's never changed. It's still the original crossing place. Hallelujah. It's still the blueprint. I like that when Elisha got there with his preconceived ideas. You think how much it might have been to Elijah. The Bible said he turned away in a rage. There's a lot of people today, they get in a rage when you preach the Holy Ghost. They get in a rage when you preach about the cross. They get in a rage when you preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we got more than that, brother. The church has moved on. We don't need that anymore. That's okay, but the church has moved on. They're just like them, and they got some preconceptions of how it's going to be. And when you try and show them, you've got to come back to the original. When you try and say there's only one way, there's only one crossing place, there's only one Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They get in a rage. They don't like it. They get angry. I'm glad Naaman had a servant there to come and tell him.
Amen.
I'm glad there was something also in the heart of Naaman after he'd been in a rage. It was humble enough to say, yeah. God give us a humble heart. God give us a soft heart to receive what God says. No matter who it comes through or how it comes. Anything that points you back to the original is always God.
Amen.
Anything that takes you back to the blueprint is always God. Anything that wants to add to that blueprint or say there's a little bit more, it ain't God. It's not God. The Spirit of God will always take you back to the original. Praise the Lord. His servant said, my father, if the... Now notice, that servant came, he said, my father, if that prophet had come out there and said, Naaman, you need to do something great. Oh, the flesh likes to do something great. Man likes to do something to save himself. Man likes to have a good intellect. Man likes to have a great understanding or a great intelligence. Man likes to do something good. But it don't come like that. You've got to get away from all of that. You've got to humble yourself from all of that. He said, if he asked you to do something, you'd have done it. How much more? You see how the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How simple was Elisha's message? How much more? All he's telling you to do is to go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. How difficult is that? All he's pointing you back is to the original crossing place. Naaman said, we got better rivers down there in Damascus. He probably had. They were probably cleaner, but they won't deal with sin. We got better methods today. We got better ways of putting the gospel forth. We got better ways of explaining it. But it won't deal with sin outside of the old-fashioned Holy Ghost gospel of Jesus Christ. It won't do it. Naaman said, you know what? I can go and wash into their better waters. They might be better waters, but they won't deal with the problem. That's the problem today. There's too many people trying to get things some other way. There's too many people trying to get a religious wash over. You know what? They're coming out the same condition. They're not changing. It won't deal with the sin of, it won't deal with that sin that's on the inside. You can scrub away all day. You can wash all day. You can wash till you come out with wrinkles. But it won't deal with the problem. You've got to go to the Jordan. You mean to tell me you've got to go to that dirty river? Muddy, filthy, dirty river? Dip 7 times in that? Look at all the stuff that washes up into that river. I've got to go and wash in that river and be clean. A lot of people think that way about God's, the Holy Ghost today. You mean to tell me I've got to come to that experience where I listening to a testimony last night, John was telling me I was in the Elam church there. There was a brother came to, they were seeking for the Holy Ghost. And this brother had his hair gelled, you know, they gel their hair and things like that. And he went forward to the Holy Ghost. He said, "Well, you can lay hands on me, but don't lay hands on my hair, because it's just been well set and gelled." That's a little bit like Naaman. Hallelujah. You've got to humble yourself. Hallelujah. You've got to get down and get allow the Holy Ghost to deal with you. You start laying preconceptions like Naaman, you're never going to deal with it. You've got to come to God humbly. You've got to come to God honestly. If there's a desire in your heart for the Holy Ghost, you've got to get to a place where, Lord, I don't care if I cry or boo-hoo or what happens. I don't care if I'm in it. I make a big embarrassing spectacle of myself. I don't care what it takes, but Lord, give me the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Give me that experience. There's too many people got too much pride. There's too many people that are embarrassed. What would so-and-so think? Don't matter what so-and-so thinks, this is between you and God. Don't matter what anybody, what your husband thinks, what will my husband think, what will my wife think? It don't matter about what they think, this is between you and God.
Amen.
Don't lay some preconceptions down. Don't say, I'll go and get prayed. What if I went and got prayed for? Oh, and things happened and I started to scream and shout, I started to cry. What happened if I spoke in tongues? What would people think? If you were... Don't worry, you wouldn't get it anyway. You've got to come to a place where you don't care. You don't care what people think. You don't care what people say.
Amen.
Just so long as you get it.
Amen.
Just so long as you meet with God. Hallelujah. Don't matter what anybody says, just so long as you meet with God. But a lot of people just like Naaman, that river's dirty. And that experience is embarrassing. I wouldn't want to be embarrassed. I wouldn't want to be shown up. What would people think? If you think that, don't come anyway. But if you've got a desire, if God's placed a desire in your heart, hallelujah. If God's put a hunger in your heart and a thirst in your heart, only He can satisfy it. But you've got to come, God's provided way. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. I like the story there. It finishes by saying that Naaman's flesh came as a little child.
Amen.
You know, when a man's born again, you're a spirit babe in Christ. You're a little child. Remember the time that when God saved you, when He gave you the Holy Ghost? You remember that tender feeling? You remember that just atmosphere, that presence? Oh, it was sweet. Oh, I could do with a dose of it myself again. Hallelujah. His flesh came as a little child. That's how he was going to know there was a prophet in Israel. Because that prophet was pointing him to that original. Not what Elijah did, it's where Elijah pointed him. And you're only going to know a prophet, not by what they do, is by where they point you. You're only going to know a messenger, if he's a true messenger of God, not by what he does, but by where he points you. Amen? Remember, the Bible warns in the last days, false Christ and false prophets would rise, showing great signs. That if it's possible, it will deceive the very elect. Now listen, it's not the doctrine that's deceiving the very elect, it's the signs that they're doing. It doesn't say it's a doctrine that preaching is going to deceive them. It says there's signs that are possible will deceive the very elect. You can't. Now, signs are of God. But you've got to come back to the original. You come back to the original. I believe in signs. Of course, I preached that last night, sign. But you've got it. Prophet, a messenger, a servant will always point you to the original. He won't come along and say, that's fine. Now, many people come along and they say, that's true. But you need something more. Well, you be careful of that, my friend. You just watch that. You be careful of that. It's taking you to another river. It's taking you to another water. And I tell you, it won't clean you. It'll put guilt on you. It'll put fear on you. It'll put condemnation on you. It'll bring death on you. You've got to come to God's original crossing place.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Is that, you understand what I was trying
Amen.
To say? Excuse me if I get myself mixed up. Pardon me. But shall we just bow our heads for a moment of prayer? Precious Lord, I pray that you'll take these few words which have been spoken, and by the help of me, you just break them down to the hearts of the people, Lord, to receive your word, Father. I pray that, Lord, like Naaman, Lord, you'll bring us to that place. Lord, maybe there's some here today, Father, that, Lord, you've tried to speak, you've tried to show them. Lord, maybe they've just held back. Maybe they have preconceived ideas or preconceived notions of how it's going to be. And Lord, maybe you're trying to speak to them, trying to bring them to that place that you want to meet with them. You want to give them of your fullness, Lord, of your Spirit, Lord. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'll meet with each one here this morning in this place. I can't do anything for anybody, Lord. I can't set them free, deliver them, heal, nothing. I just declare thy word, Father. And I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you're creating each one of your people here this morning. That desire, that hunger, that touch of God in their lives, Father. I pray that, God, sometimes maybe we've been in the way many, many years, Lord. And Father, we've just felt that voice, that little tug, that little call, and we've just kind of just laid it to one side and just tried to hush it up. But Lord, it's still speaking. May our hearts be open, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, to hear your Spirit. No matter how it comes, Lord, no matter which channel it comes through, no matter which way it comes, Lord, help us to receive what you'd say to us today, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us. I pray, God, that we'll be able to lay down, Lord, every weight, Lord, and the sin that so easily besets us. Lord, I pray that, God, if some of us here today are wrestling with fear, Lord, and with guilt, Lord, that, Lord, we can come this morning to that river and just wash in me clean. Lord, be rid of it, Father. I pray, God, you'll just break every chain, every yoke, over every captive life, over every captive spirit, Lord, that you'd bring deliverance to body, spirit, and mind, Father. Lord, you came to set the captives free. And Lord, we look today in the church of Laodicea, and so many people, Lord, are bound. So many people are sitting in a prison house, Lord. So many people are sitting enchained in snares, ensnared, Lord, with the wiles of the enemy, Lord. But you say to us, Lord, today that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You're listening to a lie. And we can be free this morning. We can be free from our guilt. We can be free from our fear. We can be free from our sin. Because of the precious sacrifice that you gave on that cross. Lord, we come, as it were, in type to the Jordan River. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, we won't be like Naaman, that, Lord, we'll just turn and go away in a rage. Don't let us be like that, but, Lord, could you give us a soft heart to just say, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming today, Lord. I've just fooled around long enough. I'm coming today. I don't care what people think. I don't care if I have to look foolish and crazy, Lord, but I'm coming today, Lord. I'm sick of my wandering, Lord. I'm sick of my weariness, Lord. I'm sick of these sins that just seem to be hanging on to me, Lord. I'm coming today, Lord. I want rid of it. I want it dealt with, Father. Oh, Lord, I want to wash and be clean. Would you grant it to us this day, Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. We sang that little chorus last night, didn't we? Shall we sing it again? Cover me. Cover me.
Cover me. Cover me. Extend the border of thy mantle over me. Because thou art my nearest kinsman. Cover me, cover me. Cover me, cover me. Extend the border of thy garment over me.
waiting on you. I know you're here, Lord. I pray, Lord, in the name of in your precious name, you'll help each one of us to open our hearts to you today. Just to allow you to come, Lord. You said, I'll come in and sup with him. I pray, God, that you will break any barriers. Lord, it takes you to do that. Lord, I just read of the revival of Wesley, the move of God under John Wesley. Lord, that your servant, Lord. Lord, all he could do was preach. And yet your spirit fell upon those people, Lord, to cry, to scream, to groan, Lord. It wasn't a put on, Lord. We can't put those things on, Lord. But the reason I say that, Lord, is that it just shows us, Lord, that it was your work, Lord. It was you, Lord. I know, Lord, the church, we've moved on, Lord. We're in another, Lord, the church, we're at your coming, Lord. But oh God, I pray that your spirit, Lord, would just deal with our hearts today.
Yes.
God, Lord, that we'd have that desire, Lord. That you'd give us that desire, that hunger. Lord, if there are people that are sitting here, Lord, seeking for the Holy Ghost. Lord, it shouldn't take so long, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, you said if we repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd give us the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not here today to preach emotion or experience, Lord, those things in themselves. But I know one thing, that when the Spirit of truth has come, you'll receive power. That's what you said, Lord, to your disciples, Lord. You said, go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. You said you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name. Your prophet said that God, Lord God, hates a powerless religion. Lord, today, God, would you just help us, Lord, as we call upon your name. Oh God, we don't want a religion, Lord. We don't want a church, Lord. We don't want to just go through a Sunday ritual. We want to meet with God. We want that touch of God in our hearts and our life and our bodies, Lord. Even today, Father. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Would you grant it, Lord? Lord, would you let no one go from this place, Lord, empty? Lord, would you let no one leave this place, Lord? Lord, dissatisfied or disappointed and saying, oh, I didn't get it, just another failure, Lord. Would you just be their portion today and their joy, Lord? Would you meet with them, Father, I pray, in a real way, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would you, I pray, Holy Spirit, as we worship, just search our hearts, Lord. It doesn't come from a platform. It doesn't come from a preacher, Lord. Lord, would you just meet with us right now, Father, I pray. Open our hearts to receive, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, I ask this prayer for your glory, Lord. Amen. Let's just quietly worship the Lord. you feel that presence that's just around you. You feel that presence come near you. Don't be afraid of it. Just say, Lord, I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to open the door this morning. I'm ready to receive you. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
He touched me.
Yes, Jesus. That's my soul. Touch us today, Jesus. Oh, touch our hearts today. He touched me. And he me whole, go by a heavy burden. Just receive that touch, my brother, my sister. Receive it this morning. Receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus. want you right now to lay aside every preconceived idea. Just like Naaman, I want you to just lay aside what you thought it was, what you thought about it, your ideas. I just want you to come. Just come simply and say, Lord, every thought, I just lay my ideas, my preconceived ideas at your feet. Lord, you just come the way you want to come. You just come how you want to come. But Lord, I'm ready to receive you right now. Lord, I'm just ready to receive you. I'm wanting to receive you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Him. There's anybody that would want to be prayed for? You feel God moving on your heart this morning? And it would be a help if I could ask myself or my brother Tom or some of the brothers would pray for you. We'd be happy to do that today. You don't have to do that, but if you feel it would be a help for you, why don't you come? And we'd be happy to pray with you. But whether you come or whether you don't, say, Lord, I want you to touch me. I'm coming to you right now. I'm coming to you right now. And I want that touch. No preconceived ideas. No deals, Lord. No bargains, Lord. No. Lord, I'm just coming as I am. As that songwriter said, just as I am, without one plea. But Lord, I want you to receive me. Hallelujah.